Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. When I was doing my on-the-job training as a mechanic, one of the things I learned was that certain jobs require a special tool. Have you ever tried to get something off and you didn't have the right tools? That can be an exercise in frustration. But when you find that right tool, it can be a great help to you in getting the job done. Well, Satan has some tools that he likes to use on you and me. And they can be very effective tools. However, we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is a greater tool. And it can come against the tools of Satan. But we're going to talk about some of the tools that Satan uses against us to distract us, to get us going in the wrong direction so that we'll go down a path of sin. Adam and Eve lived, they were the only people to ever live in a perfect situation. Could you imagine what that must have been like? There was no sin. There were no problems. They were husband and wife, and they had never had a fight. There's no issues at all. They live in a perfect situation. God comes down and meets with them once a day in the cool of the day and speaks with them and has fellowship with them. They have every need provided, all the food provided, and they're caring for the garden in just a very idyllic, perfect scene. And God has said, you can have anything you want except for one thing. I don't want you to eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree you can eat of, but don't eat of that one. And he gave Adam and Eve the gift of personal choice. It's a gift that we have today. They didn't use that gift too wisely, though. The devil came along, and he is that great serpent, the scripture says, the dragon, elsewhere he's called. But he comes along and he speaks to this woman through this animal, apparently, and tempts her to eat of the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat. And so forever things are changed. They sin, they take of the fruit, and all of a sudden life as they knew it was over. From then on, they would be cast out of the garden. They would be separated from God's presence. They would be doomed to live a life of toil and hardship and pain because of the curse of sin. I want you to know something. Sin is a horrible thing. Sin is an awful thing. Do you believe that? The devil wants us to believe the opposite, but sin is a devastating thing. So Adam and Eve lived bearing the consequence of their choices. All of us, I'm sure, have experienced times where we've gone through and made the wrong choice and received the consequences of those choices that we've made. I believe that we need to recognize these tools that Satan uses against us to try to lead us down this path of sin so that we can then take God's word and trust the Lord and be in his word and use that word so that we can have victory in our Christian life. So the title of my message is Tools Satan Uses. Tools Satan Uses. Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die." "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and made loincloths for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Then the man replied, "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." So God asked the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent. He deceived me, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains, and you will bear children in anguish. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." And he said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust." Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made clothing out of skins for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. The Lord God said, "Since man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, eat, and live forever." So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove man out and stationed the cherubim and the flaming, whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Tools Satan uses. What are some tools that he uses? Well, the first thing I want you to see is that he uses deceitful words. Deceitful words. If you look at verse 1, he says, "Did God really say you can't eat from the tree, from any tree in the garden?" So he's being deceitful. Did God really say? Did you know the Bible is one of the most reliable ancient source that we have. If there are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts or a host of Hebrew manuscripts and copies and lectionaries and all these things, over 15,000 documents to establish the New Testament, it truly is a marvel of ancient literature. There is no other book of ancient literature that's as well attested as the Bible is. There's no other book that is more archaeologically supported than the Scripture, than the Bible. And yet, from the beginning of time, men have attacked God's Word. They have said, "Did God really say?" One of the things that gets all over me is I see on the television where they say, "We have discovered the tomb of Jesus." Oh, really? You've discovered the tomb of Jesus. They did that this last Easter. You know, they always time it right about Easter time, you know, when people are celebrating the resurrection. "We found the tomb of Jesus." This is the second time, I think, in the last 5 years they found the tomb of Jesus. They always end up being hoaxes. You know, it's kind of like saying, "Hey, there's a guy buried in this tomb. His name is Jim, and his name is Ed. And so we know that they're the Jim and Ed that died 400 years ago. We know this is their tomb." Because Jesus and his brothers and sisters, they all had names that they were named after the great heroes of Israel. They were common names. "Oh, yeah, Jim and Ed. Yeah, this has got to be their tomb." And it invariably somebody with sense, an archaeologist will come along and say, this is a complete hoax, and the person that's saying this doesn't even know archaeology. It's amazing how those things will happen, but it's nothing new. There have been attacks on the Bible since the book of Genesis. Did God really say? And then the devil puts a little subtle twist on it. He said, did he say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Now, what's he trying to say? Well, he's trying to say God is holding out on you. The fact was, God said you can eat of any tree in the garden except for one. But he said, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? What's God trying to do to you? He's deceiving them. He's trying to get them to believe that God is holding out on them. There's a lot of people that believe that today. They believe if I become a Christian, if I surrender my life to Christ, all the fun is going to be gone out of my life. I won't be able to do anything I like to do. I won't have any joy, and I'll live a miserable, pitiful existence. I used to think, you know, if I surrender to God, he's going to send me to the mission field and I'm going to marry an ugly woman. That's what I used to think. And that's what the devil wants us to think. God's holding out on you. But it's not true. God wants the best for you. Matter of fact, God had given them the best. Satan was the one who was holding out on them. So rather than thinking, well, I don't have to do what God says, think, I don't have to do what the devil says. I don't have to listen to him. I can choose to follow Christ, and I can choose to believe his truth. You know what the Bible says? The Word of God is living and active. It's a book that speaks to the issues of our lives. It reveals his truth. It says it is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. God has given us a guidebook by which to live. He has given us an instruction book on how to relate to him. And can I tell you something? The greatest joy you will ever experience in life is knowing Jesus Christ. That's the greatest joy. God brings joy unspeakable and full of glory as we walk with him. Peace that passes understanding. He takes away the burden of guilt when we come to him and forgives us and washes away our sin. This is the blessing of God, but the devil will come and he'll try to deceive us, and he's very subtle. So first of all, he casts a question, but look at what else he says in his deceitfulness. In verse 4, he says, no, you will not die. Now he's just going saying the opposite of what God said. You know what I found? It occurred to me when we were doing the Truth Project a few years back, that in every area of belief, the world believes the opposite of what God says. You ever thought about that? How to raise your children, the world believes the opposite of what God says. How to relate in your marriage, the world believes the opposite of what God says. How to do your work, the world believes. I mean, every area of life. It's amazing. The devil is doing the same thing today he's always done. He says the opposite of what God says and tries to get people to go the other direction. You will not surely die. That's foolishness. Well, they did begin to die at that moment. They died spiritually. They died emotionally. They began to die physically when they took of the fruit. And God tells Adam, from dust you're made, to dust you shall return. And ever since, we've been dealing with the problem of death. Jesus conquered it, hallelujah. But that's the road the devil wants you to be on. So, deceitful words. Know that the devil will try to deal with you in a deceitful way. How do you counteract that? You counteract it with the Word of God. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, David said, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against it. So when you take the time each day to be in God's Word, to know what it says, to meditate on it, to think about it, and to apply, say, how does this apply? How can I live this out in my life? What you're doing is you're allowing God with His truth to counteract the work of the devil in your life. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. This world is the devil's evil system. Okay? I'm not talking about the planet. The planet is something God created, but the world system, the culture and everything, goes against what God says. So how do you keep from being conformed to that culture? You spend time in the Word of God. How do you counteract the lies of the devil? You remember what Jesus did? Three times He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. When you've been in that book lately. Howard Hendricks was telling his group of preachers who were studying to be pastors. He said, if your spiritual life depended on how well you knew the book of Deuteronomy, how would you fare? Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy to the devil. So knowing God's word counteracts the lies of the culture. Counteracts the deceptiveness of the evil one. You see, she begins right. She tells him, yes, God has said we can eat from the trees of the garden. But of this tree we shall not eat it. And then she adds something, touch it. I mean, God never said that. So she's kind of sort of got it, but she should have kept going back to that. God said don't touch it. God said, don't touch it. Or not God, don't touch it, but don't eat it. God said, don't eat it. And quoting that scripture to the devil, quoting that word. But she detours and she gets led astray from God's word. So deceitful words. Be in the Word of God. Come to the house of God. Come to Sunday school. I'll put a plug in. Sunday school is a place where you can discuss the Word of God. That's a great thing because you can ask questions. You can interact. You can share struggles and so forth and pray for each other and support each other. Guess what? We're in a battle. We need the support of one another. So use these things that God has provided for you here and allow these things to be built into your life so that you can be more effective in overcoming that deceitful work of the enemy and be in God's Word each and every day. Several of you have told me about, we did a few years ago, the challenge about reading through the Bible. And some of you are like, I think Clifford's on his third time through. He's left me in the dust. But there's others of you. Somebody came to me this past week and said, I just finished. But I want you to know it's been a blessing. Can I tell you something? It will be a blessing to you if you spend time in God's Word. As you read God's Word, ask Him to speak to your heart. And He will begin. And each time you come to the Scripture, God will show you new things. It's a wonderful thing. And He'll apply the Scripture to certain areas of your life. If you come with this attitude of, Lord, I am surrendered to do what You lead me to do today, and I want to follow You. Will You show me how to follow You, what to do in my life through Your Word? So, spend that time in Your Word. So, deceitful words are the first tool. Secondly, hungry appetites. Now, I was looking through this scripture, and it just overwhelmed me. Did you know the word eat is mentioned 17 times in this little chapter? 17 times. Eat, 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 eat. Yeah, some of you say, yeah, preacher, be quiet so we can go home and eat. And but they, I kind of think he came at the moment when she was beginning to start the hunger pains a little bit, maybe wanting to go eat a piece of fruit. And he came to her at just that moment when she was hungry. Now, my kids love Oreos. And Sherry will buy them Oreos. And we try to stay away from them because of the, you know, and the belly problem. And but anyway, sometimes they will leave them out on the counter. I hate that because I walk by and I look at those Oreos and I think, Oreos. And I walk by and I do something, you know, and then I come by the second time and I think, well, Oreos, it probably wouldn't hurt to have a couple. No, I won't do it. No, I won't do it. And I walk up. Then by the third time I come by, buddy, I'm into it. And they're good. It's that appetite, right? And you're seeing it. Well, the devil will try to take an appetite that's from God, right? And direct it in the wrong direction. And what he wants us to do is he wants to take appetites that God has given us that are good and to use them in a way that dishonor and bring reproach upon God. And so it wasn't wrong for Eve to eat, but it was wrong for her to eat of that particular fruit. And so the enemy will try to get you to fulfill your sexual desire outside the context of marriage between a man and a woman. Don't do it. Turn your eyes away. You know what I learned? I learned if I see those Oreos sticking out on the counter, if I take those things when I first see them and I stick them in the pantry cabinet and close the door, I'm a lot more successful. It's when I leave them out there that I have trouble. The same thing is true in anything that you're dealing with in your life, whether it's a struggle with pornography. If some of you are dealing with that, statistically, there are probably some of you here today that are dealing with that. Anything, you don't want to keep things out in front of you. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're being enticed by something you see or by an appetite that you have, take steps to remove the temptation as much as you can. With pornography, you can put a filter on there with a password. You need to let somebody else have the password. You can put a filter on your cable television if you're dealing with that. If you're an alcoholic, you can pour it all out, right? Pour it down the drain. Don't keep it in the house. Maybe you don't even need to drive down the street where that old place was where you used to go get the beer that caused you to go down the path of drunkenness. But you take steps to remove that. Now, when Satan is whispering in your ear, you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave this place right now. You can use the authority that God has given you. And also, you can fulfill those appetites with the right things. I have late night cravings. Some of y'all thinking, boy, all you think about is eating. I'm kind of thinking about it now, but sometimes late at night, I get these hunger cravings. And buddy, I just want to eat everything inside. I think, oh man, potato chips, cookies, you know, ice cream, mint chocolate chip. And buddy, I just want to eat everything inside. And so what I have learned is I got this whey protein. You know, I tend to not exercise as much as I should. You know, I got the whey protein for exercise. But if I will drink a glass of water with that whey protein in it, it will kill my hunger cravings every time. But you know, a lot of times I don't do it until after I've pigged out on everything else. So if you can fulfill your appetite in the right way, hey, get you a steak instead of a soda pop, you know, or a Twinkie. Get yourself something that's good. So fulfill those appetites in the right way. If you're married, enjoy that relationship. But whatever it is, try to redirect. Don't focus on the temptation. Address the enemy if you think it's the enemy. Sometimes it could just be your own flesh. We don't need help in wanting to do the wrong thing because we have an old nature. But the devil will come along and he'll try to use that old nature and speak to that old nature and talk to us to focus us upon something that we shouldn't be focused on. If Eve had said, no, God has said don't eat it, I'm not sticking around. See ya. And she'd walk the other way. How would history have turned out? I don't know, but I wish she had done that. Or if Adam had manned up, right? And said, Eve, what are you thinking? Don't eat of that. Let's go. Let's go over here. We got something to do over here. Let's leave the serpent. He didn't know what he was talking about anyway. Let's go over here and do this. Things could have been different. Don't entertain the temptation. Turn from it. Right away, turn from it. And if you think it's the enemy, address it. Just say, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, you can do this. If you're not a Christian, don't do this because you have no authority. But if you're a child of God, you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave this place right now. And the devil has to respond to the authority. Now, you may have to do it two or three times. I don't know if, I kind of wonder sometimes if the devil will, he'll get three of his demons or something. He'll say, go mess with Roger Pugh. One at a time. Because one will come and boom, you know, I tell him to get lost, then another. You know, sometimes it's three or four times before finally it's over. But there may be a persistence that you have, but once you've dealt with the enemy, turn from it. Redirect your attention. Say, Holy Spirit, what should I do next? And redirect your attention away from whatever it is that he's trying to get you to do. So those hungry appetites, the devil will use those things to try to lead you astray. Deceitful words, hungry appetites. Thirdly, misrepresented futures. Misrepresented futures. Look what the devil says to her. He's painting a rosy picture. Verse 5. In fact, God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You're going to be like God. Your eyes are going to be open. You're going to know so much. You're going to be a big shot. Look at what's going to happen if you just listen to me. Look at all the good things that are going to happen to you. Remember him taking Jesus up and saying, taking him to the pinnacle of the temple, saying, see, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, the Bible says. Something supernatural. I don't quite understand it. But in one moment of time, he says, all this I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. He's saying, look at what I'll do for you, Jesus. Look at what I'll do for you. Now, the funny thing was, really, Jesus was going to get it anyway, right? But the devil was offering something. He wanted Jesus to take it at the wrong time and the wrong way and bring reproach upon God. The devil will lie to you about your future. He'll misrepresent it to you. He'll say, well, if you cheat just a little bit at your job and you do something crooked, you're going to get ahead. You're going to look at the extra money you're going to get. If you do this dishonest thing, he doesn't tell you about the person who's going to discover it. I've heard that phrase, it's a scripture, be sure your sins will find you out. He doesn't tell you about that. He doesn't tell you about ending up in jail for fraud. Or he'll say, just think about how this other person you're not married to will satisfy you if you just go be with that person. He doesn't tell you about the brokenness and devastation that's going to come to your family. He'll say, embrace these ideas over here and pursue your career and forget about God. And look at, boy, you can make all this money. He doesn't tell you about the emptiness that comes in living a life apart from God. You see, he's great at misrepresenting your future. Have you ever noticed how beer commercials are? They're some of the most entertaining commercials you see on television, okay? Now, they always look like they're having a great time, right? Have you ever seen a beer commercial where they show a guy vomiting into a toilet? Drink Miller Lite. Bleh! You know. You don't see that, right? Because the devil doesn't tell you about that. He misrepresents your future. You need to understand the devil. He is just a liar. And what you see and the way the world glamorizes sin is not the true picture. True satisfaction and true joy is found in following Christ. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I think of the demoniac. Do you remember the demoniac, since we're talking about the devil and his strategy? Talk about a man who was broken. The demoniac had an entire legion of demons in him. But Jesus spoke to him, and all of them came out, went into a herd of pigs. And the Bible says the demoniac was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. He was completely changed. He went from bondage to freedom. He went from being crazy to being sane. He went from being abnormal to being normal. Jesus Christ totally changed his life for the better. The devil was just, his life was so broken, he was running around in the tombs naked, okay? Cutting himself with stones because of his demon possession. And it just, I can't think of a more miserable, broken person, but he met Christ and everything changed. Can I tell you something? That's the God we serve. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus comes that we might have life and have it abundantly. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to receive Jesus Christ today. He died for your sin on Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sin. He rose again. And the Bible says that if you'll choose to turn from your sin, surrender your life to Him, receive His salvation, forgiveness, receive Him into your life in simple trust that He will save you. He'll make you His child. He'll take you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And you will have the authority and the ability to have victory in your walk with God. If you're here today and you know Christ, but maybe you have been going down the path of deception, the devil has led you astray, and you believe his lie rather than believing the truth of God's word, and you just need to say, Lord, I choose to surrender and put my trust in your word today. Maybe you're here and the devil has misrepresented your future to you, and you have paid the consequences of living a broken life. Like the demoniac, you can come and say, Lord, I want to trust you and receive your salvation and have you fix this. If you're a Christian, you can say, Lord, I choose to repent of my sin and I confess it to you and I ask you to fill me with your spirit and lead me in a different way. Did you know God is the God of second chances? He says he will give us the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness, the robe of rejoicing rather than a spirit of mourning. This is the God that we serve. He wants to restore you. Maybe you're here today and you have just said, you know, I've not been spending time in God's Word. I've been neglecting the things of God in my life. And I need to bring God's Word into my life so that I can have victory in my thought life, in my struggle against the evil one. So I can go against what the world is saying and follow what God is saying. This altar is open. You can make this prayer. If you'd like to have prayer, I'll be here and I'll be happy to pray for you. But will you respond to what God is leading you to do this morning, right now? Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for your word and for telling us how the devil, what tools he uses against us, Father. And Lord, I pray that we will have victory over his deceitful work, over the misrepresenting of...